The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Congressman Schiff, the Durham investigation ended up where there was plenty of reason to believe it was going to end up, with a new report about nothing.
That's exactly right. As you pointed, this is an investigation that started in a flawed manner. It was conducted in a flawed manner, and its conclusion is a flawed conclusion.
But look, this is a predictable, sad ending to an investigation that never should have taken place. I look at his record of two failed prosecutions and one plea that Michael Horowitz presented to him on a platter. And then I compare that to the record of Special Counsel Mueller, who convicted Paul Manafort and Rick Gates and Mike Flynn, George Papadopoulos and Roger Stone and Michael Cohen, and indicted dozens of Russians. And if you want to compare which one of these had substance and meat behind the allegations, yeah, it's absolutely clear Robert Mueller did.
Top story in the news, though, is a loss for a Trump-era prosecutor who has been trying and failing to find any deep state conspiracy against Donald Trump after getting his special political assignment. He just released this lengthy final report. It runs about 300 pages, and it's a dud.
And what you have with John Durham is, like, it's a big, fat nothing. And it reminds me of the sort of weaponization hearings that are going on, where there also is, they're just falling flat on their face because there is no there.
Because John Durham has failed to come up with anything new. We knew from the very beginning exactly what John Durham was going to conclude, and that's what we saw today. We knew from the very beginning this was never a legitimate investigation. This was a political errand to exact some sort of retribution on Donald Trump's perceived enemies in the FBI. That's what Mr. Durham has done.
It really seemed to, seems to be a complete dud. Once again, another dud by John Durham.
There's your new talking point. It's a complete dud, says Joe Scarborough. One of the others said the same thing. You'll notice that none of them are bringing out any of the substance of the 300-page report, specifically where Durham says that they didn't have any evidence of collusion before they started off with the Crossfire Hurricane. And obviously, it's a politically motivated coup attempt. Really, not even an attempt. It was a success because it culminated in them removing Donald Trump from office in 2020, and they were attacking him all through his presidency from 2016 through to the end. And then it continues to this day. Lots and lots to get to on today's show. We appreciate you joining us. You're listening to Stephen Fleury. This is The Trumpet Daily. You can get to this show at our website, thetrumpet.com or trumpetdaily.com. Or you can go to our Rumble channel and search for The Trumpet Daily and join our growing audience over there at Rumble. We've got some more news about this show to get to later on in this segment. So stay tuned as we talk about some of the montages that Sam and the others are putting together, getting a little bit of traction from Grabian and from some other sources as well. So isn't it amazing? For one, Durham exposes all of these dirty cops. Some of them have been fired from the FBI. And as soon as Durham's report comes out, basically saying they had no justification to start off with this investigation into and spying on the Trump campaign, they bring out, the talking heads bring out all of the dirty cops that were actually involved in persecuting Trump. You had Andy McCabe, you had Peter Strzok. Peter Strzok, he's treating this like it's a game, a sports contest. Well, we got more indictments than you did. And you know, he's right. In a sense, he's right. He's also sick. But he is right. No one's been held to an account on that side. That's why they're all receiving paychecks from MSNBC and CNN and writing books and going out on book tours. All of the dirty cops, they got away with it. And they're fully exposed as frauds, as communists. They're fully exposed. It's all, it's like Sundance says in that 300-page report from Durham. It's all that you need to start off with impeachment proceedings in the House. We'll see if anyone has the courage to do that. You are hearing, by the way, more calls for impeachment. Marjorie Taylor Greene, she said it yesterday in one of the hearings. I didn't get to see much from it, but again, she's bringing it up. She's trying to get the support of her committee in going after it. They're receiving piles of evidence. In this case, evidence that they were on a witch hunt. That it was politically motivated. Or if you look at the Hunter's laptop or the Biden crime family receiving all of the millions from the CCP, that evidence is beginning to pile up as well. But just think about all of these sick, dirty cops like Peter Strzok in America Under Attack. The new version just came out, hardcover. Make sure that you call our operators if you don't have your own copy. There's no cost, no obligation. The number there, as you see, 1-866-930-3024. In AUA, it says, FBI Associate Deputy Director Andy McCabe also admitted that the FBI operations traced back to the Steele dossier. So there was no evidence to justify kicking off Crossfire Hurricane. But what did they have? Well, they had Barack Obama, as I covered on yesterday's program. He opened up this intelligence assessment to prove in a matter of days, just like that, that Russia did interfere and helped Donald Trump. And then they had to pair that together with the Steele dossier to justify this ongoing persecution that lasted. And then it had to justify the Mueller investigation as well. They kept that going for nearly 3 years. And then at the end, what does Mueller find out? Nothing. You want to talk about a big fat nothing. In fact, as Sundance and some others have noted, that was an investigation or a persecution on the one hand and a cover-up of their own crimes on the other. And Durham's report exposes Mueller and his team as the treasonous actors that they were as well. Because they had access to all the same information that John Durham did. Now, again, Durham, where are the indictments? And why wasn't this report released 2 years ago? It took so long. Why? At least the evidence is out there. It's in one volume. And Joe Scarborough and all the rest, they at least the one guy held it up. But that's about it. Did any? I don't watch those shows in their entirety. Maybe they did. But it doesn't seem like they're getting into much of the substance of the report. If it was fraudulent from the beginning, I mean, what a scandal for these talking heads to bring up, but they can't do it because they're part of the problem. They're the regime. They're the propaganda arm of the Democrat Party, which is to say the Communist Party. In AUA, it says, each time these agencies had to convince the FISA court that America faced a dangerous threat from abroad, such as a terrorist attack, they had no actual evidence, so they relied on the Steele dossier and concealed from the court the fact that it traced straight back to the Clinton campaign. This is what Durham proves. It was created by the Clinton campaign, and you have in messages between Brennan and Obama that it was a smear job, and they knew it from the beginning. They knew that it was a smear. Says here, according to the Nunez memo, former Andy McCabe, who resigned just 4 days after the memo was released, admitted that if not for this dossier, there would have been no Russian investigation. A bit of truth there coming from McCabe, who enjoys lying, just like the rest of them. Were it not for the dossier, they wouldn't have had anything. This is, I didn't play this for you yesterday, but just going back to, now that we know it was a coup from the beginning, go back and see how the regime media participated in this movement to destroy Donald Trump. This is CNN breaking the news on January 10th, 2017, after James Clapper leaked the information to Jake Tapper, I get their names confused because they sound familiar. Here's clip 10.
CNN has learned that the nation's top intelligence officials provided information to President-elect Donald Trump and to President Barack Obama last week about claims of Russian efforts to compromise President-elect Trump. The information was provided as part of last week's classified intelligence briefings regarding Russian efforts to undermine the U.S. elections.
So that's Tapper there, the same guy who said this week that the report, the Durham report, exonerates Donald Trump. To a degree, I think he said. To a degree, it exonerates Trump. But there he was back in 2017, days before Trump would come into office. It was all a setup, the intelligence assessment, then the sit down with Obama, then the trap the next day that they set for Donald Trump. And then Comey hanging on for the few months that he did, the leaks to the New York Times, so that the that would trigger the Mueller investigation. It was all a setup. It was based on nothing. And they want to talk about the Durham report, that there's nothing in the report. In fact, there was nothing to justify any kind of investigation into Donald Trump or anyone associated with him. This is a continuation of that same report. He hands it over to Jim Sciutto. I'm not sure if you see the Perez guy in the mix as well, but they were all working on this story together. Tapper, Sciutto, Perez. And this week we've heard from Tapper and Perez, who've basically, to their credit, at least it sounds like they went through a little bit of the report, because it said it makes the Tapper, what did he say the other day? It makes it's devastating for the FBI. I think that's the word that he used. And it exonerates Trump. That's big news. Never mind what the others are saying about dud or nothing or whatever. This was, again, from 2017, clip 11.
Your multiple U.S. officials with direct knowledge of the briefings tell CNN that classified documents on Russian interference in the 2016 U.S. election presented last week to President Obama and to President-elect Trump included allegations that Russian operatives claimed to have compromising personal and financial information about Mr. Trump. The allegations were part of a two-page synopsis. These were based on memos compiled by a former British intelligence operative whose past work U.S. intelligence officials consider credible.
Yeah, and the very first line on those memos, the Steele dossier, is that Donald Trump's compromised, is that he's a Russian agent. And then all the lies, and we now know that, the thing at the Ritz-Carlton, everything in happening in Russia, just crazy, bizarre, perverse things that they pinned on Donald Trump. That was created not by some guy in Russia, those lies. That was the Hillary Clinton camp. They just created it out of thin air, put it in those few memos. It gets tagged on to the intelligence assessment, and then Clapper leaks it to Tapper. Clapper and Tapper, there you go. This is from AUA. It says, in fact, the Horowitz report, so you've got Mueller, Horowitz after that, he got to a little more of the truth, and now Durham. I mean, Durham's fully exposed, this coup attempt. It says, the Horowitz report reveals that McCabe told the inspector general that the FBI sent the Steele report to President Obama because Obama had requested, quote, everything you have relevant to this topic of Russian influence. See, Obama was behind it all. People still want to give him a pass and pretend that while it was the DOJ and the FBI doing these things, it wasn't somehow Obama's DOJ and FBI. Obama wanted to know, as I played for you yesterday or quoted from those text messages, he wanted to run the operation. He wanted to know everything about what they were doing to Donald Trump. According to Michael Horowitz's 2019 report, McCabe lied. Well, he put it that he lacked candor. They sugarcoat it to protect their own. He lied on several occasions to FBI agents and also while under oath. Federal prosecutors recommended charging McCabe, but Attorney General William Barr let him off the hook. See, that's the way that it works, whether it's after the Mueller report, the Horowitz report, or now the Durham report. They let him off the hook. And then they go on TV and they gloat. I know, man. It is sickening It is. Well, we got all these indictments over here. You got nothing. Like it's a basketball game. It really is sickening to watch. But it's all part of the communist attack on the United States. The DOJ is there to get Trump, to get all things Trump, and to cover up the crimes of Obama. This is in AUA regarding Peter Strzok. It says here, the American people are still learning the full extent to which Barack Obama was personally directing this treasonous plot against Donald Trump. And the only reason we know as much as we do is because Devin Nunes pressured the FBI into providing congressional committees with 384 pages of text messages between FBI Special Agent Peter Strzok, who was leading Crossfire Hurricane. So Durham reveals that they had no evidence to unleash Crossfire Hurricane on Donald Trump, and Strzok's the one that was leading it. And Strzok's the one in that opening montage that you saw, bragging about how all the indictments that they got, that the communists got on their political opponents. It's unbelievable, really. And says, and the woman with whom he was committing adultery, Lisa Page, who was working as counsel to McCabe, the text messages between these two FBI operatives reveal shocking antipathy for candidate Donald Trump. It says, Strzok clearly hated Trump. He sent Page a now infamous message saying that Mr. Trump would never become president, warning or writing, no, he won't. We'll stop it. He texted that. The leader of Crossfire Hurricane, the one heading up the investigation, says that we will stop Trump. Now he's working for MSNBC. He got a promotion after he had to leave the FBI in shame. The shame didn't last for very long. We played the Schiff montage for you yesterday. My father writes in AUA, Ratcliffe said he briefed Adam Schiff on these exact facts and told him the evidence went all the way up to Obama. I mean, this is really condemning, Ratcliffe told him. Schiff, a radical leftist, immediately went out and publicly said that Trump colluded with Russia, and he had the evidence. You've heard the montage yesterday that Grabian then picked up on and tweeted about, and other news sources are now playing as well. A montage produced by this program. Schiff over and again for years saying, yeah, I've got the evidence. You would think one of those talking heads would at the very least, you know, skim through Durham's report and then call. Well, Schiff was in one of those interviews to get on the guy that said he had the evidence. And he's been proven now to be a liar, a habitual liar. But who was it? The talking head has him on the show to talk about how that the Durham report's a dud. And then there's Schiff, there's Strzok, there's McCabe. All of them liars. All of them hate Trump. And all of them on TV to gloat. All of them on TV to say that Durham's got nothing. Ha ha. Well, as I say, to some degree they are right about the score. They have indicted and persecuted lots of people like General Flynn. Many others as well. Many others from the January 6th protest as well. All of this, you see, an extension of the election steal. And before that, the coup d'etat headed up by Barack Hussein Obama. As I said yesterday, I mean, it's a shame that there aren't more indictments to go with it, but the Durham report certainly does undercut the big lie that the radical left, the communist left, used from the very beginning to persecute President Trump. And it exposes Mueller, the fraudulent investigation that Comey triggered back in 2017. This is from Sundance over at Conservative Treehouse. He says, eventually, after the shock and awe of the Durham confirmations wear off, I'm hopeful that people will stand back and realize the bigger question that covers all of the Trump-Russia collusion conspiracy nonsense. This was a United States government operation to conduct full-throated surveillance on a U.S. presidential candidate and then remove that candidate from the office of the presidency after his victory in the 2016 election. See, they were, that was the only thing that they didn't quite pull off, the 2016 victory. So everything that unfolded after Donald Trump, never mind what Obama was out there saying, talking about a peaceful transition. Grabian picked up on that montage as well. He's out there over and again. It's going to be peaceful, even as he was working behind the scenes to get Trump to destroy his presidency. Sundance says, with John Durham outlining in granular details how the FBI, DOJ, and larger intelligence apparatus acted politically to weaponize government on behalf of an allied presidential candidate in Hillary Clinton, a bigger question remains. There never was any merit to the Trump-Russia nonsense. So what exactly were Robert Mueller and Andrew Weissman doing for 2 years? Weissman's another one. He's providing his commentary for the networks, for the cable news shows. He was Mueller's pit bull. Remember when the Mueller report finally came out and they called Mueller to testify? He didn't know anything. He just looked like a fool. And he's since disappeared. But Weissman's still out there. Says here, using the silo defense as a method of obfuscation, John Durham noted in his report, as below, never delved into that obvious question. Says Durham specifically and with great intent says he did not look at what Mueller and Weissman were doing, even though Durham destroyed any predication that might have given merit to the intention of their special counsel existence. So he makes the no. I mean, Sundance is basically saying that Durham, you know, could have gone a lot further, but he didn't. He stopped short of going after these dirty cops, these traitors to their country. But as I said yesterday, I mean, when you think about everything that has been exposed and who has been exposed, people like Bill Barr, who had an opportunity to actually set things, at least a few things, right. I mean, they're going to continue carrying out these kinds of crimes until someone actually fights back. This is why they're so terrified of the thought of Donald Trump returning to office, because they know that he will. You can also see in all of this, that opening montage, just how important it is for them to control the media. And some of that is slipping away from them. And this too terrifies them. And it keeps Barack Obama awake at night. He was interviewed just this week. And was asked that very question. You know, what is it that scares you? What is it that keeps you up at night? Notice how he responds to this. Clip two.
Post-presidency, what about this country keeps you up at night?
The thing that I'm most worried about is the degree to which we've now have a divided conversation, in part because we have a divided media, right? So I'm much older than you, Nate.
You don't look it, though.
That's what I was fishing for. But when I was coming up, you had three TV stations.
Yeah.
And people were getting a similar sense of what is true and what isn't, what was real and what was not. Today, what I'm most concerned about is the fact that because of the splintering of the media, we almost occupy different realities. If something happens, in the past, everybody could say, all right, we may disagree on how to solve it, but at least we all agree that, yeah, that's an issue. Now, people will say, well, that didn't happen, or I don't believe that.
The country is divided because the media is divided. It says the divider in chief. No one is more responsible for the bitter division that you see in the United States right now than that man right there. But it keeps him up at night, the fact that there are more than three networks now. He's dreaming of the days in the 1980s when you just had ABC, CBS, and NBC, and that's it. And the left wing controlled the media, and there was no internet, and there was no social media. There was no way for anyone to get to, if they say the report's a dud, then you just accept it. I guess that's what Walter Cronkite said, or Peter Jennings. They're nervous about their grab on power, media power, that it's slipping away, They certainly don't want to see the White House slip away either. They're desperate. They'll do anything to maintain that grip on power. Elon Musk was interviewed on CNBC and was asked about conspiracy theories. And, of course, the reporter is basically suggesting, you know, you better be careful. I mean, you're kind of dabbling into conspiracy theories. Why would you do that? This is clip four.
You know, you do some tweets that seem to be, or at least give support to some who would call others conspiracy theories.
Well, yes, but I mean, honestly, you know, some of these conspiracy theories have turned out to be true.
Which ones?
Well, like the Hunter Biden laptop.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, that was a pretty big deal. There was Twitter and others engaged in active suppression of information that was relevant to the public. That's a terrible thing that happened. That's election interference.
That's election interference, he said. That was again all part of the coup d'etat. That's part of this Durham report as well. I mean, it's not in there. It should be. It's part of the story, I mean. Yeah, get Trump on the one hand and cover up your own crimes on the other hand. You've got more and more. I mean, Obama, you can see why Obama is awake at night with someone that influential, that powerful, now controls Twitter. Again, Twitter's not perfect, even with Musk at the helm, but it's a lot better than it used to be with respect to free speech. Listen to Greg Gutfeld from Fox yesterday, clip 9.
You have people saying that the country will not survive Trump, then your moral duty is to cheat, right? And you should cheat it. Like if somebody is telling everybody that this person is a modern day Hitler, it is your duty to do whatever is possible to stop him. In fact, if you actually play by the rules, you're a traitor, right? So they created a devil that was so big and so vast, it made all actions permissible. And it made every institution, as the judge was saying, subject to suspicion. Right? So you can bury stories, you can create hoaxes, you can fund smears. It can go anywhere because this person must be stopped. It's Hitler, an existential threat. And so what happens is now we're left and none of it's true. And so we had a half a decade hoax that infected and undermined every institution because we were made to believe this person is evil. And then people make fun of people who are skeptical about an election. Why shouldn't they be skeptical about an election when the DOJ and the FBI and the mainstream media and the tech companies and the Chamber of Commerce are all in on the same thing? Why shouldn't the election be called into question, right? Shouldn't a hero try to fix the election, right? Shouldn't a hero do that? If you're up against Hitler, that's where we ended up. And you can't go and condemn people for so-called conspiracy theories when you were going around telling everybody this guy was worse than Hitler.
The great thing about that soundbite there is, again, you step back, and Sundance does a good job of this, you step back and you look at the bigger picture here. Sure, some can say the Durham report, it's a dud, it's a nothing burger. But step back, if the premise for it all was a lie to begin with, then just continue on down the road that they're going. And how could you arrive at 2020, given what they did in 2016 and 2017, and then Mueller in 2017, 18, and 19, and then conclude, in particular, with when you look at 2020 just as one calendar year, and how crazy and all of these unprecedented acts by governments in the West going on all through the year, and then conclude that the election was perfect. It's all part of the coup d'etat. They finally got him out of office, the bad orange man. You know, you wonder, in listening to some of the clips recently from Jesse Waters and then now Greg Gutfeld, if maybe Fox News is trying to reach out to some of the millions in its audience that they've lost since they fired Tucker. Either way, what he said there, how could you not question the election, the integrity of the 2020 election, given the fact that the other side sees Donald Trump as Hitler, and they are justified in doing any lawless activity in order to get him out. They're doing the country a service by the lying and the cheating and the stealing. This is Michael Schmidt. This is from yesterday. Again, Durham's report comes out. And the thing that hit me is I know he's one of the same. They're all the same. But here the guy's, he works for the New York Times. That's the paper of record. That's the paper basically that determines the daily content for these cable news stations. Listen to his take. Now that Durham came out and said there was no evidence of any kind of Russian collusion from the beginning, nothing to justify Crossfire Hurricane. And yet listen to what this man still believes and says after all these years of this hoax. Clip six.
I think what we know is that the Trump campaign invited this help from the Russians. We know from our own eyes and from watching that Donald Trump asked Russia to help him. He did that very publicly, and in doing so brought a lot of these questions on himself. People will say, oh, you know, the media did this or the FBI did this or such. But it was Donald Trump on the campaign stump that asked Russia, you know, if you're listening, to try and help find Hillary Clinton's emails.
So he still believes Trump-Russia collusion. What was the first part of the clip there? I think what we know is that the Trump campaign invited help from the Russians. We know this. We at the New York Times know this. And after all, didn't you see him out on the campaign trail? When he asked Russia for help, he did it publicly, says this guy. Listen to this clip from 2016. Here's where Donald Trump evidently made a public plea for help from Putin. Clip 8.
That a person in our government, Katie, would delete or get rid of 33,000 emails. That gives me a big problem. After she gets a subpoena, she gets subpoenaed and she gets rid of 33,000 emails. That gives me a problem. Now, if Russia or China or any other country has those emails, I mean, to be honest with you, I'd love to see them. Russia, if you're listening, I hope you're able to find the 30,000 emails that are missing. I think you will probably be rewarded mightily by our press.
And so the talking heads take that as a complete and serious reach out to Russia moment from Donald Trump. But what's interesting is the subject there. He's talking about 33,000 emails that are destroyed, that Hillary Clinton destroyed after they were subpoenaed. That, like the Schmidt guy for New York Times, that's not a story. That's not something that we want to delve into. But this, I mean, he asked for Putin's help. You know what's interesting? Another interesting little factoid about that moment out on the campaign trail is Donald Trump gave that speech July 27th, 2016. Guess what happened on July 28th, 2016? The next day, it's in the Durham report. It says on July 28th, Director Brennan met with President Obama and other White House personnel, during which Brennan and the president discussed intelligence relevant to the 2016 presidential election, as well as the potential creation of an interagency fusion cell to synthesize and analyze intelligence about Russian malign influence on the 2016 election. Brennan's recollection was that he spoke with Director Comey on the morning of the 29th to brief him on his July 28th meeting with the president. So this is the one where Brennan goes in there and basically says Hillary's plan is to smear Donald Trump on Russia. So you can see why their ears perked up when he said that out on the campaign trail. In their minds. I mean, even if there's no actual evidence, we've got to go after him with Crossfire Hurricane because he's Hitler. It's exactly the way Greg Gutfeld explained it yesterday. It's just been a coup d'etat from the very beginning. That's what Sundance titled this next piece. The Trump-Russia collusion conspiracy was a coup d'etat. This is from yesterday. It says, the bottom line is that everything the Obama Justice Department, IC, and FBI did to include support from Republicans in Congress during the 2016 election and aftermath was a coup d'etat against U.S. President Donald Trump and his administration. This is the truth of the thing. That again, if you step back and look at the Durham report in the big picture, this is the significance of it. It was a coup attempt, a successful coup from the beginning. Now, Trump's coming back. We bring that out in America Under Attack. But there's no doubting the fact that all of these forces were aligned against him and resulted in the most scandalous presidential election in the history of the United States. And they're up there saying, oh, dud, nothing, yawn away, 300 pages. I mean, at least the one guy held it up, but that's about it. That's about it. It says here, the U.S. media participation and subsequent denial of their culpability looks increasingly pathetic in the aftermath of the report outlined by Special Counsel John Durham. However, it doesn't take a media admission of the report, or rather of the coup effort, for the demonstrable actions and evidence of that coup to be factual. He says, read the report. Read the report. All the evidence is there. The truth stands alone, regardless of the discomfort it creates. It's all there. It's all that Kevin McCarthy needs. It's all that some House committee needs to trigger the articles of impeachment, as he goes on to say. The evidence is piling high. I mean, God really and truly has exposed. He's exposed these dirty cops. He's exposed the deep state. He's exposed the Antiochus administration. He's exposing, as I said on yesterday's show, I mean, more and more, he's exposing Barack Obama. Listen to Mark Levin from a couple nights ago, clip 12.
You know, when it comes to the FBI is no good. It's gone rogue. It won't even submit to oversight. We have a whistleblower who says there's a document in the FBI that says that Joe Biden took bribes. That's the president of the United States, for God's sakes. Now, if the bureaucracy, if it were Donald Trump as president, the bureaucracy would leak it, right? Just like they leaked his tax returns. But in this case, you cannot allow a director of the FBI who's not even in the Constitution, who's not subject to votes by the American people, to say, I've got sources and methods. Yeah, we got your sources and methods here too, pal. Here's the report. And your sources and methods are corrupt. Your sources and methods violate the Constitution.
That Sean Davis clip we played yesterday, where he said the FBI is the most dangerous domestic terror organization in America. You may have seen some footage of these, I forget, the Patriot Front or group, something like that. They're all dressed in khakis. All the flags they're waving, they're the same size dimensions. Just another FBI agency or group, certainly one that's infiltrated, as they try to stir up this idea, as they try to keep the narrative alive that white supremacy, that white nationalists are the greatest threat facing the United States. These are corrupt organizations. The Proud Boys are not the greatest threat to democracy or to America. The deep state is. The DOJ and the FBI are. Because look, like Levin just explained there. They're filled with rogue cops. There's a sickness like Isaiah 1 describes from top to bottom. My father wrote last year, speaking of Obama and just how much he's been exposed, he should be lying awake at night, given what he's gotten away with, not just because of cable news or Fox News. This is from an article we titled Barack Obama Exposed. It's from last February 2022. It says here, it has been thoroughly proved that the Steele dossier, a completely false report filled with scandalous lies, aimed specifically at discrediting then-presidential candidate Donald Trump, was paid for by the presidential campaign of Hillary Clinton. I mean, and we know even more since this was written a year ago. It has been proved that, despite knowing all this, Federal Bureau of Investigation officials illegally used the dossier to obtain a warrant to spy on the Trump campaign. I mean, to go into a FISA court, not once, not twice, I think three, four times, and to lie each time. And the judge puts the stamp of approval on it. And then they keep spying on Trump's people. All of this happened. It's now documented. And we now know there's no evidence of Russia collusion. Nothing. It says here, what Ratcliffe revealed in that letter was damning enough. Yet on October 7, 2020, he announced that he had provided special counsel John Durham's investigation with over 1,000 classified documents relating to the Steele dossier and how it was used at the highest levels of our government. He said the contents of those documents is criminal. See, again, the big problem with the Durham report is not that it's filled with nothing. It's that he didn't have indictments to go with it. He didn't go after any of the dirty cops. He didn't even give any recommendations at the end for referrals or recommendations for reform when it comes to the FBI. But all of the criminal activity, it's chronicled in that report. It would be so easy for someone with courage in the House to take it and to run with it on articles of impeachment for whoever, Chris Wray, Merrick Garland, or to go after some of the ones that have since gone off to write books and brag about their crimes on TV and brag about the number of indictments that they got as opposed to John Durham and his people. Really is sickening stuff, as I say. Ratcliffe said he briefed, let me back up, and crucially, we now know that Brennan briefed both Obama and Joe Biden about this in August 2016, 3 months before the election. So they knew the dossier was fraudulent and that the entire spying operation was based on it. They knew it was fraudulent. Now Durham brings out that Brennan went in July and said this is going to be a smear campaign from Clinton. And then the next month he's telling Obama that we've got this Steele dossier lined up together with it if we need it. It says here, Ratcliffe said he briefed Representative Adam Schiff on these exact facts and told him that it went all the way up to Obama. I read this part of the quote earlier. Schiff, a radical leftist, immediately went out and publicly said that Trump colluded with Russia and he had evidence of it. My father concludes with this. That's the way the left routinely lies. They are brazen like demons and virtually nobody holds them accountable. Virtually nobody holds them to account. We'll see if that changes in the months and perhaps next few years. What a year this is shaping up to be. It's going by fast, by the way. And then 2024, boy. And Donald Trump, in the midst of all of this, I mean, he keeps becoming more and more popular. It's amazing what you can do. It's amazing what you can do if you just stand up for truth and you have some courage to go with it. People are, I think they're hungry for that kind of leadership, certainly in the United States. When we come back, I'll get to that clip from a news program or a talk radio show that used our montage that we played yesterday. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. If you'd like to email the show, you can reach us at td@thetrumpet.com. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily.
What has happened to the United States of America? The wealthiest, most powerful nation in human history is suddenly divided, weakened, radical. The evil in America has grown powerful. The good has grown weak. The honorable parts of American history are succumbing to a direct, targeted, sustained assault. Someone, something is dismantling America's history, purpose, and character.
Fundamentally transforming the United States of America.
Political dysfunction, social strife, economic peril, catastrophic moral failure, fires, attacks, riots, lies. The nation is being attacked from within by its own leaders. powerful elites in government, journalism, academia, and beyond are intentionally, rapidly destroying what America is in order to make it into something else. There is a reason why your nation is crumbling before your eyes. There is a spirit and a specific perpetrator that is attempting to blot out America. Only America Under Attack reveals that perpetrator and the motive and spirit behind him. This newly expanded book shows you the reason why America has changed so dramatically, so suddenly. If you're confused and concerned about what is happening to America, request your free copy of America Under Attack by Gerald Fleury at thetrumpet.com.
The Trumpet Daily.
One of the biggest peddlers of the Russian collusion narrative was Representative Adam Schiff. He may be the most infamous for reading a made-up version of Trump's phone call to the president of Ukraine, but he also claimed over and over that there was plenty of evidence of Russian collusion, as this montage from Trumpet Daily shows.
So they can call it a fishing expedition, they can call it a witch hunt, it's all an aligned message with the White House, but nonetheless, real evidence is coming forward that just can't be ignored.
So we do know a lot more. I think the claims that there was no evidence of collusion have long since fallen away. The question now is, what is the quantum of proof here?
That Christopher Steele may have found out, even before our own intelligence agencies, that the Russians were in fact aiming to help Donald Trump in the election. That has now been borne out by ample evidence.
I think you see the most palpable evidence of a collusion in terms of violating the Logan Act.
Look, I don't think you can seriously argue that the Russians weren't trying to help Trump and hurt Clinton, as well as sow discord in the United States. The evidence is quite overwhelming on this.
So, will the American people ever get an apology? You probably already know the answer to that one.
That's the that's from the Glenn Beck show. I guess it's kind of like the our format is with the news headlines at the top. 4 minute buzz, I think she calls it. So anyway, it goes from that into Glenn Beck and his co-host. I believe it's their radio show, although it's on video, so I guess it's a podcast as well. So as I say, some montages that have gotten some traction online over the last couple of days. By the way, I hadn't listened to Glenn Beck in quite some time, so I just had it on in the background when we were alerted to this earlier today, and it's hard to believe how many commercial ads they have sort of dividing up the program, and then when they get onto the program, they're reading through the commercials on the air as well. I didn't listen to that much of it, but half of it seemed like commercial to me. I mean, how much content is even there for an hour of programming? I mean, together that with the ones that have the co-host, then you also have a certain amount of chit chat that goes on. Now, again, I'm all for some small talk here and there, but when you think about the stacks of news that are sent to me from our Edstone office, from our Canadian office, from Sam and the team here locally, I mean, we are able to get through quite a lot of content on this program in just 55 minutes. Because we don't have all of these advertisers that we're looking to. Sam even made the point the other day about Donald Trump and just how important it is for him to be a billionaire who's pretty much self-sufficient. Nobody controls him. You look at all of these strange things happening with Ron DeSantis at the moment. The big donors, you know, these big Republican donors that want a certain kind of candidate, and he's awkwardly trying to comply. With Donald Trump, you don't get any of that. You know, this is important because Herbert Armstrong used to make the point about whether it was The Plain Truth or his program, The World Tomorrow. He produced it with the faithful support of tithes and donations sent in from people supporting the work, and that's it. That's it. How refreshing is it when you're just not beholden to anyone? You can get the truth out there and distribute it. And that's what we've done at this program. That's what we do at our website. I mean, we're certainly not billionaires, but the work nevertheless is funded by faithful supporters of this work who voluntarily send in their contributions. That's it. All the promos, you see them for yourself. The promos are all made here, in-house, We produce our own commercials, and we're just advertising literature that we'd like for you to read. Anyhow, I didn't mean to get off on that little rant there, but it is nice to see. That's why so many of the things that Donald Trump says when he's out on the campaign trail or wherever, it is refreshing. He doesn't always say things the right way. Sometimes his language is crude and coarse, okay. But he does speak from his heart. And he's not controlled by these higher-ups. All of those, just remember that. When you think about what you're hearing, even on stations like Fox News, how important is it for them to make sure they get the funding coming in from the advertisers? I mean, that's what it all boils down to. That's how those operations stay afloat. They've got to sell advertising. And in some cases, I mean, the advertising just goes on and on and on. In the case of me, with many podcasts, you lose interest. Who wants to sit there for 55 minutes listening to one commercial plug after another? This is from some of you, the viewer. I'll stop there. Maybe we can develop an actual segment on that very topic, because it is something that Herbert Armstrong did stress from time to time. One of our viewers says, I have been listening to your daily program, The Trumpet Daily, for about a year now. Since that time, I've come to depend on the message of truth in prophecy shared by you each day on your show. I've also read your father's book, America Under Attack. It's so eye-opening to be able to understand why we are in such decline, who is behind it, and how everything will be ultimately resolved. Why are we in decline? You know, and there's even some positive takeaways from that. We know that ultimately it culminates, all of these dreadful events culminate in the return of Jesus Christ to this earth. But my father also makes the point in the Ezekiel booklet, and you can read through the last 5-6 verses of Ezekiel 33, about all the calamity that's coming upon our nations. And my father makes the point in the booklet that, you know, in good times, people, they generally aren't seeking you out. They aren't seeking out the truth. But when they see their country, when they see that they're losing their country, people are going to start to pay attention. And I think that's why, you know, some of the things we've put out there have gotten some traction. I think that's why the audience seems to be growing. I think that's why America Under Attack has been requested by tens of thousands, because people want, they know something's dreadfully wrong with the United States, with this nation, and they're seeking out the truth. They want to know what God's perspective is. She says here, I haven't looked forward daily with hope to any program as much as the Trumpet Daily since Rush Limbaugh was on the air. I remember as a child my mother reading The Plain Truth. The message was truth then, as you have continued it today. I want to thank you for your ministry and for all that you and the Church of God are doing to teach and to share God's work for eternity. Nice email there coming in from one of our viewers. Another one says, a wonderful commencement speech. Thanks for sharing. That's hearkening back to Monday's program where we played the commencement that I gave to Armstrong College on Sunday. Another one here says, I've always appreciated hearing the Fleury family history. I could relate a lot to the Fleury grandmother in the story, and I hope to see some fruit down the road like she did. That, again, in response to Monday's episode. Another one says, as opposite as day is from night, so was your graduation speech from the fake leader. It says, it was inspiring, uplifting, and hopeful. Thank you. In the Catholic Church of my youth, we never heard anything of the like, and I'm convinced it's the reason why my marriage is shattered. Well, go back and check that out if you'd like. That's from Monday's episode of the Trumpet Daily. You can get to that through our website, trumpetdaily.com, or our Rumble channel, The Trumpet Daily. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.